Well, good morning. Thanks very much for having me. First, I'd like to thank my army of co-authors, Drs. Gandur, Schempf, Singh, Strickland, and Van Dyke from the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, Dr. Blumberg from the CDC, and Dr. Nuichek from the University of California, San Francisco. I have no relationships to disclose. I know many people have funny things to say when this slide comes up, like I'm married or I don't want to disclose my relationships to you, but I can't think of anything funny at the moment, so we'll go on. There have been, as probably many of you know, there have been a tremendous number of changes in how health insurance is provided in this country just since in the last decade. For example, the percent of employers who offer health insurance, who offer coverage to workers, has declined since the year 2000. The percent of Americans who receive coverage through private purchase has also declined. Further, there's been a concomitant increase in the percent of children covered by Medicaid or the state children's health insurance program, particularly among kids with special health care needs. Now, you may remember that some of the biggest political fights in 2007, 2008 were the reauthorization of the Children's Health Insurance Program. That was also the first piece of legislation that passed after Obama became president. So we know this has been an important issue that we've been trying to deal with. Let me give you an example of how it's changed. This is looking at health insurance status in 2003-2007 using the National Survey of Children's Health. Now you see in 2000, between those in that four-year interim, there was a slight increase of those who are kids who are uninsured, and you see a slight increase among kids who were covered by public insurance. Now this is a survey of 100,000 kids. It's a general survey of kids in the country. Now, there's also a national survey of kids with special health care needs. And what you see here, this was done in 2001 and 2006. Look at the difference in the percent of kids covered by public insurance. Almost a 33% increase over that time period. Now, about 14% of kids in the country could be classified as having special health care needs. However, they account for almost 50% of spending on medical care for kids in the country. So what you're seeing is a shift in this country of kids who are the most, who have the most needs, who have the most consequences conditions, they're being shifted into public insurance. Now, these surveys are done every 4 years. It'll be interesting to see. We currently have the next national survey of kids with special health care needs in the field. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on in 2009, 2010. So we can't leave aside the moral and ethical issues of treating sick children. But let me try to do that for a second and just speak from a scientific point of view of why it's important for kids to have health insurance. Kids who lack health insurance or even periods without health insurance are more likely to have delayed or foregone needed care, to have less access to preventive care, specialist or chronic care. They have lower utilization rates and higher financial burden, and they have worse health outcomes. Not just kids who don't have insurance, but kids who are underinsured. Kids who are underinsured are more likely to have delayed or foregone care, not to have a medical home, less access to needed referrals and care coordination. So you see there are very real consequences to kids not having health insurance. And so why should we examine geographic disparities? Well, those of you, probably everybody here is somewhat familiar with the Affordable Care Act, right? So you know in 2014, there when most of the implementation begins, it's going to be directed through state-based health insurance exchanges. States have different Medicaid and SCHIP eligibility requirements. Surveys, such as the current population survey, have indicated variation in the percent of uninsured kids by state. And an assessment of varying levels of insurance can help provide a guideline for better implementation of health insurance reform. So in this survey, we have four research questions. First, what are the state level variations among kids who are never insured, sometimes insured, underinsured, and fully insured? Now remember from the last slide, I mentioned that the current population survey, we can look at state variations of kids who are uninsured. However, this provides a unique opportunity to look at state variation among kids who have periods without insurance or kids who are underinsured. Second, which states are significantly different than the national average for each level of insurance after multivariate adjustment? Third, which states are more likely to have children who are underinsured by type of insurance? We recently published an article looking at underinsurance among kids in the United States. And one of the factors we were able to control for was region. And we found that there were regional variations. So in a way, this work is an expansion on that, to look at that, why there might be regional variations, and look at it in more detail. And finally, what policy level factors influence level of insurance in a state? There are actually multiple data sources here. The first is the 2007 National Survey of Kids' Health. That's, as I mentioned, 100,000 kids. What's unique about this survey is not just that it looks at the health and well-being of kids and looks at many different aspects of their lives, but what is rare among federal surveys is that you can get not just national level estimates, but state level estimates as well. And the interview completion rate among known households with children was 66%. The other data sources we used are when we did the contextual analysis. We looked at data from the Kaiser Family Foundation and a number of other sources too. Now our main outcome measure here, as I mentioned, is different levels of insurance. And to sum up, we looked at kids who were never insured, kids who had a period without insurance in the previous year, and then kids who were underinsured. And for kids who were underinsured, we only examined kids who had continuous insurance in the last year. So for kids who had continuous insurance, parents were asked three questions. Did the benefits meet the child's needs usually or always? Were the costs not covered by insurance reasonable? And did the health insurance plan allow the child to see health care providers that they needed? If the parent answered usually or always to all of those questions, the child was considered to be adequately insured. If they didn't, they were considered to be underinsured. So we controlled for a number of factors, a lot of sociodemographic factors. We looked at health status as well of the child and special health care needs status. So our first question was, actually it's not our first question, it was my first question, and you're just the audience. So what are the state level variations among kids who were never insured, sometimes insured, underinsured, and fully insured? So first, let me give you a sense of the overall numbers. In other words, using weighting techniques, of the estimated 73 million kids in the US, we found that up to almost 5% were never insured in the previous year. An additional over 10% of kids had periods without insurance. And among those who were considered to be continuously insured, almost 23%, almost a quarter of kids were considered to be underinsured. And most of that comes from inadequate coverage of charges. Now, the first thing we looked at was the unadjusted prevalence for the five highest states for uninsurance, insurance gaps, and underinsurance. let me first tell you the range of uninsurance among kids for the states. You see it ranges, I have the five highest levels of uninsurance, with Nevada being highest at 10.8%. That goes all the way down to Massachusetts at less than 1%. So you see over a tenfold difference in the percent of kids who are never insured in this country. Nevada's followed by Texas, Montana, Arizona. I'm not going to go through each individual state here because of, in the interest of time, but you see a somewhat different pattern among kids who had periods without insurance, and then you look at underinsurance and you see a quite different geographic pattern. Here you see almost geographically all states in the Upper Plains states. So when we map it, what's the first thing you notice? Do you see an obvious pattern here? States in the West are where kids are much more likely to be uninsured. States, if you can't read the bottom, states that are in orange means they are statistically significantly higher than the national average. And you see states that are significantly lower are mostly in the Northeast and the Upper Plains. And this is periods without insurance. Not quite as dramatic as those as for kids who are never insured, but you see similar patterns. In this color means, while not statistically significant, they were higher than the national average. For underinsurance, it's a very different pattern, as I mentioned. These are statistically significantly higher than the U.S. national average. Now, what we did is statistically adjust the prevalences, because obviously there are very different demographics across the states. Nobody would claim that the demographics of Mississippi are the same as Minnesota, for example. So when we adjust for demographic characteristics, we see there are some changes in states that are uninsured. Montana is now the highest state. Nevada dropped from 10.8 to 7.7. Alaska made the worst five. Wyoming, two, and Florida stayed in the top five. Mississippi dropped, although it was still the worst state for having periods without insurance. Nevada, Texas, Florida, and Arizona were all among the worst, although the percentages, the adjusted prevalences, dropped slightly. And as you see, South Carolina made the worst five list for underinsurance. And here you see the adjusted prevalences. So largely a similar pattern to see to unadjusted, just that the numbers changed. Actually, let me go back a second. Once you adjust, again, you see that for adjustment, it's primarily states in the Northeast and these states here in the upper Midwest that were significantly lower than the national average for never insured kids. For the adjusted percentage for periods without insurance, again, Texas, Nevada, and Mississippi were significantly worse than the national average. For underinsurance, again, states in the upper Midwest, there are four states significantly worse than the national average. So next question is, which states are significantly worse than the national average for each level of insurance after multivariate adjustment? And before I talked about the adjusted prevalence, here we looked at the odds ratios. And what you see are similar findings. Kids in Montana are over twice as likely to be never insured compared to the national average. Kids in Alaska and Hawaii are 80% more likely to be never insured than the national average, on down the line. For sometimes insured, kids in Mississippi and Nevada are 40% more likely to have periods without insurance. Kids in Texas, 30% more likely. For Minnesota, 40% more likely to be underinsured, and on down the line for Illinois, Montana, and Wisconsin. Which states are significantly better than the national average for each level of insurance after multivariate adjustment? So we want to also praise the states that are doing better. And you see, Massachusetts, only a tenth as likely to have kids who are never insured than the national average. On down the line, Rhode Island, 0.2, DC, 0.3, Hawaii, New Hampshire, 0.4. We on the list is Illinois, New York, Vermont, Delaware, Minnesota, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Connecticut, New Jersey, and Louisiana. I mean, that reflects the fact that some states are driving up the national average significantly. For sometimes insured, you also see a number of states. For example, kids in Louisiana, Illinois, Massachusetts, and DC are only 60% as likely to have kids with periods without insurance. For underinsurance, Hawaii, kids in Hawaii are only 70% as likely to be underinsured. And Georgia and Maryland, only 80% as likely. There are other factors associated with each level of insurance. Kids who are older are more likely to be uninsured and underinsured. Kids who are Hispanic are more likely to be uninsured and have periods without insurance. For non-English speaking kids or come from families with non-English speaking parents, they're at risk for each level of insurance. Poverty level, you see, is primarily driven, primarily manifests itself in uninsurance and periods without insurance. Kids who are in good health, child health status, compared to those who are in excellent or very good, are 38% more likely to be uninsured. If you're in fair or poor health status, you're over twice as likely to be underinsured, over 50% more likely to be sometimes insured, and 53% more likely to be underinsured. Kids with special health care needs are less likely to be uninsured, but more likely to be underinsured. And which states are more likely to have children who are underinsured by type of insurance? Well, here in the interest of time, let me just make a couple points. First, those kids who are covered by private insurance are significantly more likely to be underinsured than kids covered by public insurance. You see, the US averages a quarter of kids who are privately insured, continuously privately insured, are underinsured compared to only 17% of kids on public insurance. And you see, there's a fairly wide range from the highest to the average. Now, there are no statistically significant differences here. That's probably an issue of power, not having sufficient numbers of public insurance among underinsured, among the privately insured. You see that mirrors the overall findings. And the final question is, what policy level factors influence the level of insurance in a state? These are preliminary analyses, so I'm not giving the final figures. But there are a number of factors that are protective for levels of insurance of a state. If your maximum eligibility for Medicaid and SCHIP is higher, you're less likely to have uninsured kids. You're less likely to have kids who have periods without health insurance. If there's presumptive eligibility for Medicaid and SCHIP, again, less likely. Comprehensive reform in a state, as you would imagine, much less likely. The percent of private firms with more than 50 employees who are offering health insurance, again, you're less likely to have kids who are uninsured and sometimes insured. And same for states where there's maximum eligibility for comprehensive Medicaid coverage of parents of greater than or equal to 100%. So our key findings were there are distinctive geographic variations in levels of insurance coverage, with Western states more likely to have both uninsured and partially insured kids, while underinsured children were more prevalent in the Upper Plains. Adjusted prevalence indicated some changes, but strong variations still remained. And there were wide variations in underinsured among both publicly and privately insured children. And finally, although it's preliminary analysis, you can see that policy level factors as you would imagine, play a very strong role here in what happens to kids in geographic areas. Much as I hate to admit it, there were some limitations. It's a cross-sectional survey, it's parent report data, and there's no single agreed upon definition of underinsurance. So that's my contact information. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't completely hear your question because I didn't know it was directed at me. Okay, good question. We're looking only at 2007 in this survey. Because there were some, for example, we didn't ask questions about adequacy of insurance in 2003.
Yeah. A lot of times, especially since we're, I know the ACA addresses pre-existing.
Yes.
Losing coverage, but yes. I'm specifically concerned about that group, members of that group who experience gaps in coverage, that then as a result leads to underinsurance because they have a pre-existing condition that's not covered when they're pre-existing coverage after the gap. So, do you have the power to look at that group or kind of assess how often that's happening?
Okay, it's a good question. But actually, remember in our survey, when we looked at kids with special health care needs, these are kids who their parents said were continuously covered. So even among kids with special health care needs who are continuously covered, they were still around 40 to 50% more likely to be underinsured.
Given the tremendous gaps and fluctuations geographically and amongst these different categories for kids, I wondered what your plans would be to track access to health insurance, say, over the next 3 to 5 years, given not only some of the challenges of just implementing the legislation, establishing exchanges and stuff, but also in the context of some of the uncertainty now that seems to have arisen with regard to funding and regulation.
Okay. No, thank you. That's an excellent question. I didn't even have to pay anybody in the audience to ask it. As you saw, we do these surveys every 2 years. And so in 2011, the schedule is we'll be in the field for the National Survey of Kids Health in 2011 and 2015. As we were doing the questionnaire, as we were planning for 2011, we have different questions that will start to take into account how are the upcoming changes going to affect kids' health insurance in the country and health care reform. So we are working on that and planning for that in the future. So we'll be able to look at 2011 after some of the beginning changes have happened. We'll be able to look in 2015 after almost all the changes have happened then.
A lot of this is provided by the health department, and I'm 80% of my clients are served by the electric department.
I have a question. I think, Dr. Chen, it seems as though pregnant women have free, complete state-provided health insurance in Taiwan. Is that right? Do children also?
Yes. All citizens, all populations in Taiwan is covered. 99% is covered. Yes.
Okay. If I were to come from another planet where health care was primary concern and land here and listen to this presentation, I would think, what is going on here? Here's a country that insures everybody, and then we have these really bizarre variations across state and these weird kinds of waiver programs where insurance is just like almost a lottery. Like, what would this person from outer space think?
Well, yeah, thank you very much for your question. Actually, our insurance program has our problems. Most of the important problems are financial problems. Like you say, everybody is insured, but our government paid a lot of money for those who cannot pay for themselves. And even foreign workers in our countries is also covered. Oh, they're not covered. So, the financial problem is the most important issues in our country, and it's getting worse. So we have some strategies to raise our payment, but everybody's complaining about the increased payment. But I mean, compared to the medical resources we use, I think the payment is just reasonable and kind of too low for current system. But we are just just doing our best to maintain the balance of the medical care coverage and our financial barrier. Yeah, thank you very much.
Any other questions from speakers?
I have one question for Karen. And not so much a question as a comment, and that's that you said 23% of foreclosures due to medical care costs. That sounds like a very fascinating area of research, because with foreclosures being the big,
concern.
The big concern, and the fourth of that is caused by medical costs. Or who's not looking at that? Who needs to be looking at that? Anyway, it's a rhetorical question.
I have references at the back of my PowerPoint, so in case anyone's interested in any of the statistics, they'll be in PowerPoint.
Great. All right, how about a big round of applause for our